The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to Christmas 1996 and begins with a holiday favorite from the University of Detroit Mercy Chorale.
Hark on the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song, with joyful ring, all caroling. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, holly pound, raising the star, boy, hill and dear, telling the tale, hailing the rain, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On and they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Hark on the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, holly pound, raising the sound, o'er hill and dale, telling the tale, hailing the rain, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On they send, on without end, their cheerful tone to every home.
On they send, on without end, their cheerful tone to every home.
Merry Christmas, everybody. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor, and it's our Christmas show. That was the University of Detroit Mercy Chorale, and we squeezed them all here into our little recording studio, and they just sang their little hearts out. And now we're going to try to do a show. We have some of the panel with us, and we have a special guest, and the rest of the panel is still out doing their Christmas shopping, and we'll probably be here eventually. I hope they'll be here eventually. If not, well, coal for them. On my right, from the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
Hi.
Hi.
Ho, ho, ho. This is the Christmas show, right? I slipped in a little late.
It is the Christmas show. That's right. That's right. And to her right, from the Department of Mathematics, Professor Dan Maggio.
Hi. Jingle bells.
Yeah.
I was going to try to sing it, but that was probably a good idea.
Golly. Wow. And on my left, from the Department of English also, Professor Hugh Kulick.
Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Merry Christmas, too.
And on his left, a special guest from Presence Interactive Media, and also at the University of Detroit Mercy, Patrick Parsons.
Howdy.
Hi. Actually, Patrick's been on the show before.
He has. Not only has he been on the show, but he's created the liberal arts website.
That's right.
Which is a thing of glory.
And Hugh's current obsession, we would say.
Well, it's not my
obsession. You want to give the address?
Yes. I think people who want to see something cool should do their usual HTTP colon and all the forward slashes, and then they just type libarts as one word and then .ed.mercy.
Pardon me.
You want to do it in English, Patrick?
It's libarts, one word, .udmercy, U-D-M-E-R-C-Y, .edu.
And you will see a thing of glory. Make sure you check out the queries. They're wonderful dialogues that are going on about everything from information theory to the X-Files.
Right. It's very impressive.
We do make house calls.
We do. Now we do, actually.
That's right. Well, in honor of the day.
Oh, can I interrupt and say that Patrick Parsons is such a great name.
Yes.
And if I ever write a novel, I might borrow you. The trouble is that you might be sort of like Mr. Collins in Pride and Prejudice, because Patrick Parsons sounds like a good name for a pompous clergyman. Oh. And you're nothing like that. Maybe I won't do that.
No, I can testify to his abstract interest in beer that were he a year older, it would be something genuine. But he's really no Parson at all.
He's very unassuming, too, so he's hardly pretentious, and he has reasons to be.
Yeah. Well, we have a whole set of Christmas questions in keeping with the season from, you believe this, Holly Green. Detroit, Michigan.
I had Holly Green in a class of mine, an intro comp class, and I gave her a D? And I passed her on to Claire, and I never heard
no,
what
I
happened.
Never had a Holly girl.
Remember Holly?
Oh!
That Holly.
Holly Noel Green.
You got her.
Holly Noel Carol Green.
That's right.
I remember her, yes. I remember her.
Well, here's a series of questions related to various Christmas customs and their origins. Mm. They want you to get 12 out of 17. Okay. This Christmas custom dates back to the early 1600s and was at first confined mainly to Protestant districts because of its connection with Martin Luther.
Oh, you nailed a priest to a church door. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. 95 of them or something like that.
95.
That's where the song 95 bottles of priest on the
priest
wall,
on
95
the
bottles of priest or whatever it is. Is this the right question? Okay.
It's the right question. It's not quite the right answer, okay, so, but that's a good answer.
Okay, so what did we do?
There's something we do that dates back to the 1600s.
Caroling?
No, not caroling. No.
Yule log.
Well, you're getting closer.
Related to Martin Luther, though.
Yeah, you're getting closer.
Not the tree and not...
Well...
Maybe
it tree?
Is the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was German.
That's
but
right.
I thought it was the 17th century.
And
it was
so
just
he said
read
it was
about
okay.
It.
Yeah, he said it was okay. You could you know, put lights on the tree. And that was
put
so,
lights on the tree.
They had to put candles on the tree. And then
had to wait for the invention of electricity.
And then they burned down and destroyed your house and killed
real,
your family.
Real slow start to Protestantism, that's for sure.
Mind you, in Romania, they knock on your door at midnight, and they have a
and take
goat.
You away.
the Securitates want you. Hey, they've had an election. Things
That's
are good
right.
there, I hope.
That's
We're
right.
going to be good. The rector of the university, in fact, of Bucharest, and I met him, or at least saw him speak, heard him speak last year. Anyway, they come to your door with a wooden goat that makes clacking noises.
It's so
funny, and they have a specific song they sing, and they're not looking for money. It's just a bunch of young kids. They're not looking for money, but it is.
A goat.
It is very funny. The song is cute.
I can imagine
the tune
it
is cute, and the goat's head clacks, and they cover themselves up, so you get this great. You know, castanet.
This sounds great.
It's fun if you like folklore.
Yes,
folklore.
That's right.
I'll be teaching.
Well, I should mention, that Professor Crabtree is going to become our folklorist. He is teaching
in my spare time for fun and profit.
That's right. That's right. She'll be teaching our courses on folklore in the English department.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Like that. Thanks. I don't know if it's a
I always
favor
thought,
or not, but it's fun.
Maybe it's just me. I always thought that the tree bit was actually much older than the 1600s.
I wonder if it was suppressed because it was pagan
wonder,
and maybe
see,
the,
I
it was druidic.
You've got druids with mistletoe and that kind of stuff. Mm. But
I bet they didn't just give you a little buff.
Germanic
on the
religion,
cheek.
But there's something about the importance of trees and decorating trees in the pre-Christian period that. Mm. Was probably remained an underground custom in one way or another. And so much of that stuff did. In the early centuries, when Christians first began celebrating Christmas, the practice of gift giving was frowned upon by the church. Why?
They were right, but I would never have had a bicycle, or a rocking horse.
Why would the church play the role of the Grinch? What was their problem?
Would it be revealing your wealth so that tax people know?
No.
Just religious
because
reasons?
Because in the Roman Empire, after Constantine, Christian clergy were exempt from taxation.
Really?
Yeah, that's why some people have said that the 4th century witnessed the greatest number of vocations to the priesthood in the entire history of the Christian church. Don't pay taxes. I want to be a priest. Oh,
kind of like a non-profit corporation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since nobody could really check up on your chastity.
That's
you
right.
were a guy. Would it be something to do with materialism or religious?
You're getting close.
Keeping it religious.
You're getting close.
The three kings
were
pagans.
Well, all right. See, you're almost there, and I'll accept that. The gift giving thing was a part of the pagan festival of the Saturnalia. People ran around giving each other gifts, and it was felt that you're simply importing into Christianity this utterly heathen practice.
I have to confess, when I first came to Detroit, we used to go to Saks to see Santa, and it was a class act.
Oh, I mean,
this guy had a real beard,
yeah,
a really nice one, well-groomed, trimmed. And it really was lovely. Yeah. So, but I wouldn't buy into that.
No, that's all gone now, though.
No, that was nice. Santa has a present for you that maybe we could open on the air, because I think you could explain it.
Oh.
Santa has a present in sort of a petite size, which Dr. DeWitt
cannot get into.
Dr. DeWitt and,
yeah, and the other
will
Dr.
perhaps
DeWitt.
Be able to wear.
Oh, what is this?
I bought it at a weirdo fair, and it's the only one they have.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope this is.
It's a T-shirt,
careful,
folks. Can you describe it?
Surfs Up, S-E-R-F-S, and it is the sower sowing his seed.
From the painting, the Malay.
That's right, the Malay, and two little peasant women accompany him—a woman and a boy—and they are on surfboards and they are coming in on the crest of the wave. It is wonderful.
And when I saw Surfs Up with an E, I just thought,
"Oh,
this
that's
is
terrific.
This is you."
Well, Anne will wear it.
Good. Okay. I think maybe the woman with the headpiece is a Van Eyck or a Vermeer or something.
Vermeer, I think. Yeah, I think
she looks sort of nun-like, but
yeah,
she's
but she's
a peasant.
Vermeerish, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
Thank you very much. That is wonderful. That's I get a kick out of that kind of stuff. Golly, shucks.
I don't know much, but I know what Ed likes.
Weird things. Yes. Okay, Saturnalia. All right, next question. In 1224, St. Francis of Assisi began this tradition in Italy, which today is a part of many Christmas celebrations. What is it?
Putting extra food out for the animals.
No.
Decorating the tree with angels? Or no. The creche figures?
It's the creche.
Oh,
the creche whole nativity scene thing. Ooh. That's right. He's the one who invented this idea.
Who did? I wasn't
Francis
really
of Assisi.
Listening. Right.
That's right. It was Francis of Assisi.
He invented trout fishing, too.
Yes. And as we just ponder the recent addition of all of this to our culture, let's take a break here.
In this Yuletide season of joy and giving, it is important to remember the less fortunate, the destitute, the miserable, the Ask the Professor panelists. They don't ask much from you. A card, a note, an expensive gift. They just need a little Christmas cheer, that's all. So please, deck their halls, jingle their bells.
And you can do that by sending questions to Ask the Professor. Our email is atp@udmercy.edu. Merry Christmas from Ask the Professor. Let's return now to this classic episode of Ask the Professor from Christmas 1996.
Oh, we're back. We used to have an anti-St. Patrick's Day party in my house, and when St. Patrick's Day came, we'd always find some, you know, Anglo-Saxon saint or someone who wasn't Irish, at least, to celebrate. And the first one we did was St. Cuthbert, who was a monastic leader in the 7th century in Anglo-Saxon England. And we had this huge cake made from Rainier's, which no longer sells to the public. Yeah. And it was this poor...
They don't want our money.
They don't want our money. No, and this poor guy standing on the shore with seals surrounding him, blowing on his feet, because the legend was that they used to come out of the ocean to blow on his feet to keep his little toes warm. The next year we did Turibius of Mongraveo, the Grand Inquisitor of Bolivia in the 16th century.
I'm encouraged.
Oh, great. Well, when did it stop and when can we start it again?
Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, nativity scene. That was right. All right. Who were Melchior and Balthazar?
The kings.
That's right. Two of them. That's right.
Two of the kings. Do we have to know where they're from?
No. What was the name of the third one? This is not...
Casper.
That's right, Casper.
Okay. And one of them was always black or
that's right.
dark. Was that Casper,
I think?
Think
it usually is, yeah. Well, that was the big tourist attraction, so to speak, in Cologne in the Middle Ages. They claimed that in their church they had the bodies of the three wise men.
Right. They still do.
Yes, they
I've
still
been to
there.
That church. Yeah. But
me too.
You've
big
been to that
dome
church?
Place, yeah.
Did you climb it?
I don't go up high. I went in the basement.
I was 7 months pregnant at the time.
Oh,
you
climbed my 4-year-old son climbed it.
Oh, God. You can fall.
Who has sent us really mean questions under a pseudonym.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not these.
No.
Okay.
And our listeners are wondering why we're laughing, because the last 3 minutes was just edited out.
Okay.
Mm. That's right. They brought in the choir again to sing another Christmas carol. But anyway. Yeah, so there was some theologian in the late 12th century, I think, who invented the idea that, well, the reason there were so many duplicate relics all over the place was because relics had the miraculous ability to reproduce themselves.
Oh, really? Yes. Kind of like administrators.
Of like administrators, exactly. Yeah. Like when you put all the pieces of the true cross together, you had a cross the size of the World Trade Center. You know?
I kind of like that.
Recite the first four lines of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Just I in my night...
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Mm-hmm.
In hopes that Saint Nicholas would soon be there.
That's it. You've got it. And George Pickering is hurling himself against the door.
Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap.
When out on the roof I heard such a clatter, I sprang to the sash. To see what was the matter.
Which I always wondered about.
Yeah. Or what was to that clatter? What was the matter?
Clatter and matter.
Okay. Oh, right, right.
Splatter.
And George is here. Shall we sing something
else?
Yeah. The only versions I know are the ones written by Viola da Gamba. There's one where it began, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the school, not a creature was stirring except for one fool. And on from there, you know.
He was the president of the university.
Did Viola write anything this year?
Yes, but it hasn't been made public.
Okay.
Yes.
She's very naughty.
Yes, yes.
Viola.
Yeah. George Pickering has just joined us, the chair of the Religious Studies Department, and this is our Christmas show.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I'm late for a Christmas show.
That's right. And we are being asked questions about Christmas.
George, there's a question for you, though. There's a great bit of anger directed at your recent electronic performance.
Why? What did I do?
Oh,
you failed to do?
You started a query or a dialogue on religion and science.
Yeah, and then I wouldn't answer.
Yeah, and you never posted it.
You didn't even question.
Yeah. The thing about computers is... Other people can use your name.
Oh, yes.
If they don't have your password, they could still use your name?
Well, sometimes, you know, you let people in and then they do things. In other words, Kulik did this to me. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
And now he's trying to make a case out of it. It's not going to work.
George, he's forgetting how the power is arranged. But this is only partly true. We were sitting beside each other, and I was showing you how to do it, and I asked you what you
And you were pretending to be friendly. And I fell for it.
And you're usually tougher to trick than that.
Yeah.
You were there. Come on.
I was there.
You were tied up and gagged.
He was asking for it.
He was. That's what I say.
Okay, next question.
Well, we chewed up that time.
Yeah. In Scandinavia,
yes.
What is the name of the gnome that places presents under the tree?
Toximiki.
No, it's not.
Oh, rats.
The gnome. What's the name of the gnome?
There is a gnome.
Short name?
Werners?
Short name?
Werners.
Does it begin with a T?
No, it begins with a J.
And is it something like Jan or?
No.
Jingle. Jingle.
Jingle bells.
It is Christmassy sounding.
It's Christmassy.
Well,
so. Yule, what?
That's Yule
Brenner.
Yule Nisse.
Julenisse.
Julenisse.
Right, got that one.
Yeah.
How are we doing, by the way?
You haven't lost any yet.
Okay.
Really?
Not really.
All right,
yeah.
We don't have to give away. We don't have to give away.
No. Well, Lydia, hire scorekeepers like
this. Name the nine reindeer.
Dancer, Prancer,
Donner, Blitzen,
Comet, and Cupid.
Hey, Cupid. Why does this always happen?
Something in Vixen.
Donder and Vixen.
You got Donner. You got
Doc
Vixen.
And Grumpy.
No, you got one. You got two to go.
Rudolph.
Yeah,
doesn't
the interloper.
Count,
but there's one.
Dancer
more.
And Prancer.
Dancer and Donner. Prancer.
We got that. Donder and Blitzen.
You got Donner and
Comet
Blitzen.
And Cupid.
Dasher and Prancer.
Dasher.
And Dasher.
There you go. Dasher.
Now dash away. Dash away. Dash away. Oh,
and yeah, Vixen. Yeah.
That's right. Vixen. Right. You got him.
We had Vixen.
Got yeah. Right.
Got him.
Just trying to get the rhymes.
Who can forget?
Vixen.
That's really a fox, right?
Yes, Vixen. Yeah. The cunning little Vixen.
A female fox,
opera
isn't
by
it?
Janáček.
I think so.
The little Vixen.
How long were Christmas celebrations forbidden in England?
Oh, a couple of centuries.
During the Puritan.
That's Cromwell's
right.
period.
Commonwealth. That's right.
So 12 years.
12 years.
11 years.
11.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, the theaters were closed, everything. Those jolly merrymaking,
everyone
fun-loving Puritans.
Breathe a sigh of relief at the Restoration.
Yes. What are some of the traditional ingredients in plum pudding?
Plums.
Breadcrumbs.
Plums, yes.
Well, just about
nuts.
Any garbage you've got in the right. refrigerator, you throw it in and you
right.
glom it up with plums and honey and stuff.
Cherries and you do use breadcrumbs in the official
brandy.
Recipe.
Yeah, that's right.
You
that's
use
right.
breadcrumbs.
In milk.
You drown it in brandy.
Brandy.
Right?
Yeah, and you set fire to it.
The hard sauce.
So I guess matches.
I'm famous for this.
Well, the
I
hard sauce
it.
Isn't in it.
That's right.
No, the hard sauce is on top.
Yeah.
I remember
well,
my mother mixing it.
Well, eggs. Otherwise, you got and sometimes lumps of meat, but not always. It says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it depends what you got in the refrigerator
yeah.
for garbage. I
think
you.
We got that
mince
one.
Meat pie?
I think you did.
Yeah.
But my guess. Yeah, I've never understood what the hard sauce is. I mean,
my mother
the best
used to make
part.
It.
The best it is
part.
The best
oh.
part.
It's just
okay.
butter, really,
that's
with confectioner sugar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean,
it, and it's got brandy in it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to serve it with a sprig of holly.
Oh.
And you have to flame it at the table, and I do it every year.
My gosh.
Pretty much. Sometimes made from scratch.
Don't you love this have-to stuff?
God.
I know.
We
have
send
to.
Out for KFC.
Well, you see, we don't even do... Anne's parents, my wife's parents, used to do a big Christmas thing. It was Christmas was the big deal. And now that her mother has Alzheimer's and her father is just terminally depressed, nothing happens at Christmas at all, literally. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Bologna sandwiches, just like the prisoners.
Pretty
right?
much, yeah. It's
Is that in Nevada?
And that,
they've
and that's
decided that's good enough for those guys.
What country is the home of the Christmas tree?
Didn't we say Germany?
Yeah, Germany.
Tannenbaum.
Yes. What game, when introduced to England, was thought to be a Christmas pastime?
Post office.
Probably was in some families.
Yeah.
But,
Christmas game.
A game?
Is it a movement game or
no,
a
it's
verbal
a,
game?
No, it's a parlor type
throw
game.
Throw the Christians
suppose.
Into the fire? Throw the Jews into the fire?
No, it's
a way you pretend to be things.
No,
was
not
it,
that awful.
Dancing
it,
around
is
the
is
tree.
Is it like kind
that's
of a bigot
God,
game?
Charades. What?
Is it kind of a bigot game?
No, no, it's... Oh gosh!
Why do you assume?
It's not something to do with singing.
No, no, it's
or dancing around the tree.
Nothing like that.
Processions.
It's a game.
It's a game.
Pageant?
It's a game.
Well, that can be a game. Didn't you ever play Ring Around the Rosie?
Yeah, it can be that.
Stuff like that.
This is something that you hold in your hand.
We work with free association, George.
Rock, paper, and scissors.
No. The variety of games that are under this general category.
Jacks.
No. No.
Hold it in your
No. Well, no.
Holding. What am I holding?
Dice.
Cards?
Cards! Yes.
What?
Wow.
No.
It takes a mathematician to think
I
of those
simply
numbers.
I don't
no,
believe
was,
that.
Oh, yes,
I mean, the tarot has been around forever. And no, I don't know who made these up.
Well, England.
But,
see, it's England.
Oh, I was.
When it came to England, the English assumed. Oh,
I now, when is this date?
Holly
doesn't have
like
a date. Doesn't have a date.
And,
weren't they playing cards in Shakespeare's time?
Oh, they were playing cards in the 15th century in Ramsey because people were being fined for having ale houses in which they let people play cards. Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Maybe they used sticks and stones before.
I don't know.
It was introduced. Hmm.
Who does the voice for the narrator snowman in the Christmas special on TV. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh. Gene Autry.
No.
No, he's a big guy.
Yes, yes. He's dead now.
Yes.
Folk singer.
Oh, Burr
Ives. Burr Ives.
They say in chorus.
That was a good clue.
There
that
you
was
go.
A good
Burr
clue.
Ives, yeah. How many U.S. towns are named Christmas?
50.
No.
12.
Nope.
I figured one per state.
More what? Than that?
None.
No, there are some.
Okay. There's a North
Guess
Pole.
Guess only prime numbers. Okay. Go ahead.
17.
23.
Nope.
19.
Nope.
You're not telling us more or less. You always give better hints than that.
Well, you're all way up. You're too high.
Two.
Three.
One.
Now you're getting there.
Three. Seven.
Go
Four.
Down.
Five.
Five.
See, it's prime. It's
Do we
always
know?
Prime. God, it's
There's
like there
a Christmas Arizona, a Christmas Florida, a Christmas Kentucky, a Christmas Mississippi, and a Christmas Tennessee.
I wonder how many people are named Christmas. There are a few, other than Faulkner's Joe Christmas.
Joe Christmas, yeah.
I know when I wrote my PhD thesis and published it as a book, there was a Christmas family in the village of Holywell, and I noticed in the footnote that there was no woman named Mary, and not even in that family, so there was never a Merry Christmas in Holywell.
what is the fascination with prime numbers? Come on, you're a math person. Why are they so satisfying?
To know. You. Some they of us have other outlets.
They are to other people.
Prime numbers?
Yes.
And on that note.
So there.
Oh, really?
We thank Holly
Silent
Green
night.
For her questions. She did not stump the panel, but gosh, they kept us going for a whole show.
They made us look fairly smart. We
that's
like
right,
that, too.
That's right. And I'd like to thank the panel today and Professor Pickering, mm-hmm. Professor Crabtree,
yep.
Professor Maggio, our
thank
special
you.
Guest, Patrick Parsons, and Professor Kulik,
sure.
Who again joined me in wishing you all out there a very Merry Christmas. Yes. And now this word.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your holiday host, Kathy Bush, and today we have our regulars back with us. What does the 12th night actually mean?
It's the 12th night after Epiphany.
Yeah, it is Epiphany.
It is. It's a feast day known to Canadians as Little Christmas. That. We cannot take down our tree until after Little Christmas.
Oh,
that is a family tradition.
And then you can put it in front or what?
Yes. And it is watched and stalked as they take it away. Yeah, there's a truck that comes around and throws all of the dried out limbs.
My gosh.
Out there.
Her father is a trash fanatic.
Oh, okay.
It has to be picked up. And
all right.
Yeah, it has to be done
times
that way.
It.
Then they get put through that wood chipper in Fargo.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed facilities of the Smith Media Center on the University of Detroit Mercy Real Campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Pete Elder. Technical director is Michael Jason. Executive producer is Vivian Dick. Till next week, it's me, DeWint. Bye.
Matt Mayo and the current panel of Ask the Professor are back next week, so please plan to join us.